All right, good morning. Good morning, everyone. Those that are here that are new, my name is Ethan, and I'll be delivering our communion message for this morning, focused on the cross. So I'm going to focus on two passages today, but the first one that we'll start out with is Luke chapter 1, verses 50 to 55. Again, that's Luke chapter 1, verses 50 to 55. So in Luke chapter 1, 50 to 55, this is an introduction. You'll notice that this is what is sometimes referred to as Mary's song. After she gets introduced to her relative Elizabeth, before even Jesus or John the Baptist is born. And so these are some of the words in which he says in verses 50 to 55. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. And so what started this was a question. The question was posed to me. If you look at verse 53, he has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. And the question was, what does this mean? Just simply that, what does this verse mean? And I was like, yeah, well, what does that mean? So, but I wanted to understand, you know, these five verses in particular as a whole. And I found that this is actually not word for word, but almost quoting the same prayer that Hannah made in 1 Samuel 1, or 1 Samuel 2. And Hannah was the mother of Samuel the prophet, whose life is written down in 1 Samuel 1, and or 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel in the Old Testament. But we'll get there. Let's look at verse 50. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. So it's easy to understand what it means by the first portion of the sentence. His mercy extends to those who fear him. Those that fear him receive mercy from their sins, receive forgiveness. So that makes sense. But what does it mean from generation to generation? That could just mean, from one generation to the next, but I wanted to understand, what was meant by that phrase in its original context. So if you would, just for a brief moment, turn to Exodus chapter 20, verse 6. Again, Exodus 20, verse 6.
That's the second book of the Bible for anyone who may not be familiar.
So Exodus chapter 20, verse 6 says, "But showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commands." So it's not just, from our generation to the next, to our kids' generation, but that, in Exodus, it specifically says what is meant by generation to generation. It means 1,000 generations. And to try to put that into, if you're a numbers person, try to put that into perspective. If we assume that every generation has a lifespan of 80 years, now, of course, they have to have kids, but it's roughly 50,000 years or 60,000 years. So just to put that into perspective of what 1,000 generations mean, how long that could be, is 50,000 to 60,000 years. Just if we assume everybody lives for 80 years, but we know people live longer than that. But that was just how I tried to grasp what 1,000 generations means. You know, so we think 2,000 years is a long time, but you think about 1,000 generations of how long his love extends, and mercy extends, it's quite a different matter. So verse 51, and going back to Luke chapter 1, verse 51, it says, "He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts." Scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. And so, when Hannah mentioned it back in 1 Samuel, they'd already come out of Egypt. So this was referring to those that they had conquered. They had conquered that, you know, they had been free from Egypt. They had conquered Jericho, and they had come into the Promised Land and conquered the people that were living there at the time. But in the context of when Mary said it, you think about the kingdoms that had been lifted up and then brought down when the rulers became when they became proud. We think about Babylon, how Nebuchadnezzar, was literally made to eat grass and be like and live like an animal for a period of time because of his pride. We think of the people of Assyria and how they, for a time conquered, God allowed them to conquer Israel. But then we know that they fell as well. And even just extending to modern times, we saw the once proud nations of Germany and other nations as well be so caught up with how their inmost thoughts, their pride, that they met their end. Unfortunate before coming to understand who Jesus was. When it talks about like their inmost thoughts, it means those who are exalted in their own view, just for context. Just for. So verse 52 of Luke chapter 1, it says, "He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has lifted up the humble." Again, going back to the previous verse, talking about the prideful and their inmost thoughts, specifically here in verse 52, talking about the rulers from their thrones. And then when it talks about lifting up the humble, he has lifted up the humble, it literally means those who are humble, starting out from a low position and lifting them up to a position higher than they were before because of their humility. we can think about David, how he was a son doing what his father asked, taking care of the sheep, and then God sees his heart and his humility and lifts him up to be king over Israel. And also, in reference to when this was originally spoken in 1 Samuel chapter 2, we see the Samuel's mother, Hannah, her humility and her, and her coming in humility and asking God for a child. and saying, if you give me a child, I'll make sure that his life is dedicated to serving you. And so the Lord grants her a son who ends up becoming the prophet Samuel, and we know of his many exploits in 1 and 2 Samuel, and how he helped not only Saul come to power, but rebuked Saul, corrected Saul, and also anointed David to be the next king of Israel. If we go to 1 Samuel chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 5 to 10. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 5 to 10.
I realized what a mistake.
Those who were full hire themselves out for food, but those who are hungry no more. She who was barren was born 7 children, but who has had many sons times away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts, and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit the throne of honor. From the foundation of the earth are the Lord's. On them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful servants, but the wicked will be silenced in the place of darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be broken. The Most High will thunder from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his kin and exalt the horn of his anointed. So again, saying much of the same things that Mary said in Luke chapter 1. But if you look at verse 9, it says, he will guard the feet of his faithful servants, but the wicked will be silenced in the place of darkness. And so in this verse, talking about in parallel to those in low position will be lifted up to a place higher than them, but those that oppose the Lord will be silenced. And the word here for darkness is describing the same Greek word in the New Testament when it talks about the how the people at the wedding feast who aren't clothed or will be thrown out into darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's actually talking about the same place of darkness as when it's referenced in the many parables, which I thought was interesting. And so it really shows what's going to happen to those who oppose the Lord, but also who are prideful enough to oppose God. And it gives us a good, at the end of the verse 9, it says, it is not by strength that one prevails. So it's true. It's really not by one's own strength that we prevail, but it's through God's strength. And if we look at verse 10 in parallel with verse 53 back in Luke 1, it talks about the thunder that comes from heaven and judging the ends of the earth and really looking at the heart of the people. And because it's between those that are humble and faithful servants, and those that are prideful ultimately oppose God. If you would go back with me to our first theme scripture for this morning in Luke chapter 1. Verse 53. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. Again, getting back to the original reason for, what does this passage mean? I look at, these five verses, and then also the ones in 1 Samuel 2, and I see that, I believe it means that the poor, or those that are hungry, understand their need, and their dependence on not only on others but on God. So you could look at this as poor in spirit or poor just in materials. And when it says the rich will be sent away empty, I think just looking at 1 Samuel and looking at this, that, and especially in context with verse 52 when it talks about rulers, those that are rich tend not to understand, their need for God, but also even just their weaknesses. And sometimes even when we have a lot of things materially, we can come to God not out of need, but out of our own desires, out of want, of what more we want from this life. And our heart's desire might not be to know God or to understand Him better, but we might come to Him because we have, because we don't see our proud hearts, we desire more of what we have on this earth, more riches, more money, whether it's a bigger house or not saying those things are wrong, but, do we, asking the question, do we understand our own spiritual needs and our character needs when we go to God? And because if we come to God with the wrong desires, we'll be left with, and we continue to desire or go after those things, we will be left empty, because it's not what we actually, those things aren't actually what we need. We need Jesus, and we need God. We need we need humility. One last scripture for us this morning. You could turn to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 23, we're going to look at verses 4 and 5. And this chapter is actually broken down into sayings, which I kind of like. But Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5. Proverbs 23, verse 4. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Do not trust your own cleverness. Cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone. For they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. Again, just highlighting the fact that the riches of this world don't last forever. And we can certainly wear ourselves out trying to get, as verse 4 says, to get rich, and to trust in our own in those thoughts, but they'll be gone in very little time. Might seem like a lot of time to us, but things don't last, and so we need to truly understand our own need and our dependence on God, and not chase after with all of our strength the things of this world. So as we reflect on Jesus, on God, and the power that He has, let us remember our own need for God and our continued faithfulness to Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for today. Thank You for this service that we gather as fellow believers and listeners, and understand more of Your word and what was meant by the things that were said in the Bible. God, I thank You for just making it clear how much we need You, what kind of a heart we need to have, and ultimately, God, what is true about the things of this world, the things that are rich, the riches of this world don't last forever. They barely last maybe a lifetime after we pass away, God. But God, help us to, if we are chasing after the riches of this world, help us to go back to your word and look at the truth of your word, that the wisdom of it, that these things don't last. The only things of You last forever. God, help us to truly just meditate on Your word and understand our need for You, and whatever our character needs are, God, whatever our true needs are, God, help us to figure those out. Help us to continue to grow and to build on the things that we need to do. Thank You for Your Son that made all of this possible. We pray all this in His name. Amen.